So, welcome to the LSGGG podcast. Today we're tackling yet another blockchain topic. We kicked off last time with applications of blockchain technology in the life science industry and are moving on today to applications in the energy industry. One of the leading pioneers in this space is Grid Singularity. And the Grid Singularity energy exchange engine, D3A, has developed as an interface and an open source code base to model, simulate, optimize, and download and deploy interconnected grid-aware energy markets. Grid Singularity has been proclaimed the world tech pioneer by the World Economic Forum and is also known as a co-founder of the Energy Web Foundation that gathers leading energy corporations globally together. Today, we're very fortunate to have Dr. Anna Tribovic with us, who is a Grid Singularity co-founder and the CEO. She is also a co-founder and vice chair of the Energy Web Foundation. She serves at the UNECE Carbon Neutrality and DINA Setup Advisory Board and previously as a member of the European Institute for Innovation and Technology. She teaches innovation and entrepreneurship and has consulted on good governance, competitiveness and innovation policy for international organizations, including the EU and the World Bank. Thank you very much for being here, Anna. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
So maybe we can start off, you know, by telling us, so what was it like to start up Grid Singularity 6 years ago, where there was still, you know, a very sort of rather small blockchain ecosystem compared to today? So how did you actually get into this space, and what is sort of the issue that your company is trying to solve?
Yes, I'm not sure we're allowed to call ourselves a startup anymore, although the culture is certainly still there. And it's still, a sprint and a marathon at the same time, which is usually the case when you're in deep tech innovation, which is, you know, the topic that your podcast covers 6 years ago. So just like today, but even more so, we felt that we were really at the forefront. It was an exploration, an adventure. Most engaging, thrilling, scary, courageous, but also very fulfilling. We had become aware very, very early on of the potential impact that this new or rediscovered technology called blockchain could have in an energy industry that has innovated very little over time. And that was facing a challenge due to increasing complexity of the system, and also the now finally, you know, no longer denied, or at least in mainstream, climate change challenge. We saw how this technology could work with others to be part of the solution. We saw a number of potential business models. In fact, some of our first presentations were about various applications that could be built using blockchain mainly or in part. And it was a good problem that we had, which is which one do we focus on? We chose the hard way, which is to start with the foundation, to build a common shared technology standard for the industry. And therefore, what we proceeded to do was rather uncommon for a startup, which is to establish a nonprofit organization, an international organization, and certainly the still currently the leading organization in the energy industry and likely the only one that has a very substantial technology that is co-developed and shared, unlike others that are important, but really stay at the discussion policy proposal level. This is one organization where the energy industry worldwide contributed to one shared platform. And as such, it's an example that's been used as a role model for some other industries who have since engaged in similar consortia, if you wish. And because it was such an early stage innovation, and in some ways still is, companies that are normally competitors are very much working together.
I was wondering, is your product, the local energy exchange with Grid Singularity, is this actually blockchain-based?
In part, yes. And this is very important to acknowledge, which is that blockchain is a part of a solution, a very important one that has a critical functionality, in my opinion, in that it embeds trust in a way that you are sure that no single company has the a special market access, but that all compete at an equal level. And when I say all, I mean you as an individual being able to enjoy very similar rights to a large energy trader. And that is something that is very new, which is why it took a lot of education. And in the early years, we probably spent as much time educating the energy industry about what blockchain does, and as much time in co-designing different applications of that technology. It really depends on the application. So, for example, in one that has been commercially available for a while now, which is tracking renewable energy, issuing trading certificates, blockchain is a major part because it is provenance that is the key aspect of that particular application, where instead of having physical checks by qualified controllers, you instead have real-time tracking and real-time trading. You do not have double accounting. You do not have fraud. So that one application is one where blockchain plays a major role. And in others, it is part of the implementation where you want to add functionality that is important to you. So in case of our current product, which is essentially the energy exchange, we will rely on blockchain for transparency and for automation of some services and also interoperability, so that when the energy industry becomes comfortable, that people can also pay in other ways, that you can easily include an additional efficiency in the system. So it will be a final implementation of our application. So no, it does not require blockchain, but yes, blockchain adds a lot of value to it.
I still try to figure out how all these bits and pieces are working together. So on one hand, there is this blockchain technology, which I think is very interesting how you implement that. And congratulations to your great job to keep a startup running for over 6 years. Statistics say that most of the startups fail in the first years and only 10% survive. So you are one of the survivors and probably still have conserved the spirit in the startup world. I just try to bring the bits and pieces together in my mind. So on one hand, you have the blockchain technology. On the other hand, you try democratizing energy trading. And then I heard this term, I have written it down, Energy Web Foundation. So what I try to figure out in my mind is how do these bits and pieces play together in the industry, and where is your position in that?
Yes. So when we were starting out, we realized that you need a foundation for the house, because we're all experienced co-founders, and it really is a wonderful team with blockchain pioneers who at the time were, when we first met, were about to establish Ethereum, which is probably the most famous blockchain project that is more than a currency, and has a number of other very important functionalities, as we all know by now. It's almost a household name. People who have experience from the energy industry, corporate governance, good governance policy. And this is why we chose this road less traveled. At the time, the ICOs were very popular. You know, we had the option to publish a white paper that, you know, would have been well researched, and it was, at the time, and easily fundraise a significant sum. However, what we chose to do instead is partner with a famous nonprofit institute from the US with reputation in clean tech industry and go through the more traditional, more difficult fundraising of talking to energy corporations globally. So in the end, it is probably very likely that we raise significantly less than we would have with an ICO. But we raised in a way that was in no way questionable, that was very conservative, and most importantly, that got true buy-in from the industry that acknowledged that a change was imminent and that this was one of the technologies that they wanted to invest in. And therefore, we got the impact that we got, which is that it is the most recognized industry consortium. And we have not only the core platform in place, but the number of protocols or additional open source tools that others can use for their end user applications. And they keep being developed by the foundation. And so in a way, it's really giving birth to two startups, right? One, the initial grid singularity that always wanted to focus on individual energy rights, the ability to put an individual at the same level as a large company and to open up the energy trading, to take it to the bottom-up market design model that is more efficient, that is more sustainable, and certainly more democratic. And this is still our main mission. The Energy Web Foundation is another startup that was born out of the necessity to have a common understanding and collaboration in the space that is global and diverse, that includes not only these corporates, but also startups who have since worked together on a number of projects and co-designed and launched various applications. It is true that some are still at MVP testing stage, but some are already around. And we are now at the stage where we no longer have to explain the utility of blockchain, its functionality. It is more that some of the energy companies are still not sufficiently bold to proceed with some more disruptive cases, including the peer-to-peer trading case, and that regulators are still cautious, as is their role, and want more pilots before they change, although we are seeing huge progress in that area as well, especially in the European Union with the new directives on energy communities, but also in the US with the recent FERC regulation that opens the door to this bottom-up energy design. And it is still a complicated path. I have spoken with some people who are in VC industry or that are business angels who tell me, you know, when I hear regulator in this regulated industry, I run away. And we have done the exact opposite. And we're still pursuing this disruptive, difficult mission and making strides as we go along. So we have already now demonstrated with our free simulation tool that bottom-up market design is possible and that the technology works. The next step will be to have physical proof of concept deployment, and we're now at that stage to then convince regulators to implement this technology. And, you know, I'm often asked about what regulators should do for blockchain to be adopted. But it really is not about blockchain itself. And regulators are, you know, they call themselves technology agnostic, and they should certainly remain technology agnostic, but what needs to be done is to remove the barriers that prevent the implementation of the functionality that is now enabled by this technology that was not there before. So in the case of the energy industry, it is about access to the market. It is about simplifying compliance-related regulation that is important, but at the moment so complicated and costly that it, if not legally, practically prevents a bottom-up market design. So this is where more work needs to be done to fully implement the possibilities enabled by it.
I mean, the last time I think I spoke to a regulator a year ago, so I had the feeling that they still don't have a quite good overview of what kind of applications there are of blockchain technology in the energy space. And it's also still, even though the Energy Web Foundation is doing a really great job in making sort of applications and also startups in this space more visible to everyone, it seems that regulators still don't have a quite good idea of what is actually being built out there. What do you see as sort of major applications of this technology in the energy space, apart from, for example, peer-to-peer trading?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Yes, I'd like to first say that it depends on the regulator. Some are more advanced than others. And one of those is certainly Ofgem in the UK. They have even funded blockchain application test cases in a regulatory test bed that they have in Cornwall region, for example. So that really depends on the regulator. The regulators are generally very positive when they learn about the blockchain aspects because of the transparency and competition aspects, which is in the end their role. In terms of applications, so other than the renewable energy tracking apps, which are now very much commercially available, from Singapore to France and other areas. What is the focus now is additional infrastructure support. So, for example, decentralized energy registries, which allow for interoperability of different tools in the market, in a way that is more efficient and protects the data. And this is a project that, in the end, I believe will be given national importance because of the benefits that it brings. It's another open source tool that EWF offers called Switchboard. And then this can then be customized for different markets. But essentially, the main idea is that distributed assets have their own ID, and that as such, they can participate in different applications and benefit from them. Interoperability is key in this area. This is also how we're developing our exchange. So, for example, in our exchange, we interact on one hand with grid operators, on the other hand, with companies that manage and optimize assets. And it is crucial that they are able to onboard easily to avoid vendor lock-in, to promote competition, but also to enable scaling when you implement in different markets. So this is why this infrastructure support is as important as an end user app to really achieve full optimization for other applications. Other than that, there are energy actors who are looking at settlement, balancing, financial integration, billing. And again, they're trying to understand how they can use this benefit of being more efficient while staying compliant and in terms of all the reporting and everything else that, that needs to be done. So there are a number of cases. And what is wonderful, I think, is that it is now acknowledged that it is one of the tools that you should use and consider in creating your application. So it is also possible that there are applications being developed where blockchain is used in part, where this will not be even known or widely advertised. But the point is that in the end, it will be used. We still need a culture shift in some of the bigger energy companies that they understand that this is an asset they can use and that they can be more efficient as a result. But the progress is very, very palpable, and you can see many projects globally using it.
I'm curious. So, I mean, I think I'm one of the last people on the planet who have not really understood the blockchain technology yet after I hear you speaking. You mentioned that you founded your company in Berlin. I'm curious about the thinking behind why Berlin. I mean, we have a very nice ecosystem here in Vienna. It's by the way, the best city in the world to live in. Sorry for the commercial. we have a nice ecosystem in the United Kingdom, London, Oxford, Cambridge. Then there also is the East Coast in the United States and the West Coast. What makes Berlin stand out in your space?
We initially started in Vienna, as you may be aware, Christian, but we very quickly moved to Berlin. And we moved to Berlin in great part because of its entrepreneurial culture and a thriving blockchain community. At the time when blockchain was a rare and niche skill, and this is perhaps forgotten today, but 6 or even 4 years ago, it required specialized programmers. Since then, the technology has advanced, and now you have tools that you can use to plug and play and create your own blockchain in 15 minutes. And without the same niche programming skills that you needed back in the day, right? So for most of the development. So this has enabled blockchain applications to develop more rapidly, of course. But at the time, Berlin was one of those few hubs that had such niche programmers. It also hosted a number of co-founders of Ethereum that have an open source development ethos and a drive to create an impact. Many of the people that we work with and have worked with in the past or whose projects we follow from this Berlin ecosystem are driven by impact before financial gain. And that is a similar mission that we have as a company. And this culture is important not only for co-founders and partnerships, but also for building the team. Because in Berlin, you can find or easily attract top talent. Berlin has the advantage of being international in a way that few European cities are, where you feel very much like a Berliner, or in my case, Berlinerin, without any need to feel in any way or pressure to feel that you need to, confine yourself to national bounds, which is really the case in many other European cities. So US is not like that, and Berlin is not like that. In Berlin, you're really a citizen of the world, and you are a citizen of Berlin. And that is a wonderful freedom that you feel in Berlin, this sense of belonging, of sharing, of a community, and of a drive to innovate. The artists that come in and that I feel altogether contribute to a higher productivity. So this diversity of the space, I certainly feel has contributed. It is also to Berlin's or even, you know, entire Germany's credit that you can easily get work permits for employees who are not from the European Union, which, again, is not the case in many other EU member states or Switzerland, where it's rather difficult. So that together, I think, has made Berlin the best place for us to set up in. Naturally, now and even before COVID, remote work was also possible. But the sense of camaraderie, going out for lunch together, which is a wonderful German custom, I certainly believe has contributed to our productivity level.
No, there must be something in Berlin, because when we are talking about blockchain technology, Tesla is coming to Berlin as well, as I read in the newspapers.
It's already there.
And Elon Musk is also very much into the blockchain technology when I read his Twitter feed. Maybe we have in 1 or 2 years a tweet from Elon Musk about grid singularity. That would be a thing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
Well, it would be a natural fit because they are thinking ahead. So they have already created, they have enabled their cars to participate in energy markets by developing the Autobidder software. Therefore, if there is an energy community that implements a local electricity market with peer-to-peer and community trading, those vehicles can trade as well. And they're ready for that moment. So once we go from MVP to commercial, they will easily integrate. And I believe that other EV manufacturers will follow the same path. We are promoting this development, and all of these energy assets, and a car is an energy asset, in the future will come with their own trading strategies. And there are companies, other startups that we collaborate with that are aiming to optimize such strategies to make the trading smarter for your solar panel or your car or another asset. And there will be a market for that in the future as well, where either you will build your asset with a trading strategy that you develop, or you will buy one on the market and add to your asset so that your asset is smarter when trading. This is not even distant future. Depending on how EU member states implement the energy community directives, it may actually come much faster than we think. The important is to put the infrastructure together and to optimize And you optimize by supporting business models like trading strategy, algorithm, producers, by improving infrastructure interoperability with decentralized energy asset registries. It is a number of companies and new business models that will come to play in this new energy market.
That's very interesting. I mean, what you mentioned, the car as an asset. So I think you also have to change the perspective I have of a car. Up to now, it was a car is for mobility. So it stands in the garage. But I think the role after what you said and also what Elon Musk writes, the car is a completely new thing. It's a device with many possibilities to use it for, not only for the mobility. This is quite interesting.
Yeah, you could be earning money with your car and returning some of the initial investment as a result, certainly.
This would be a great thing.
Well, we are already in the age of dematerialization, so it's basically where we're heading with cars as well in the end. But Anna, you mentioned there also that you really appreciate it also about Berlin is that it's an international place with a diverse set of people. So how much does diversity play a role in innovative businesses?
I'm convinced that it is a critical component of success. And not only by the studies that are readily available on the topic, but also by our practical experience. Our team is diverse in so many ways. We're trying to reach full gender parity. We have almost as many nationalities as colleagues on the team, different faiths, colors, very different aspects, age. And it has certainly raised our productivity level. It has solidified the values that we hold as a company and contributed to our team culture. And I often hear remarks from colleagues how much they appreciate the diversity on the team and enjoy working in such a team. I am very much enjoying working with our current team and feel very fortunate to be able to work with such talented, interesting people who also have a strong sense of personal integrity and who want to work together to achieve impact. Because what we do in the end is very disruptive. Because even though the market is such that it is very logical that you would think that it should be a bottom-up design and that it should be driven by individuals and that you should optimize your renewable assets, it is still the old market design and practice where this distributed reality becomes a challenge to management rather than a solution, and we would like to turn it into a solution.
Great. I mean, also from your insights from having worked at the EIT, where do you see opportunities where how we can increase diversity in Europe? Because, for example, what I really liked about the place that I studied in Oxford, the entrepreneurship center there, the Oxford Foundry, has sort of an diversity pledge that says that both startups and investors that want to actually come on board in this facility need to be guided by the values of diversity. And I think it's very good that they actually also include investors there, not just look at startups. So what is your impression? How can we actually improve diversity across European countries?
It's not that difficult, actually. And there are many organizations that have already created a number of proposals. There are VCs, for example, like in the Netherlands, that have pledged that they will not invest in a startup unless they have at least one woman co-founder. And this has led to an increase of diversity in startups there, for example. There are, you can be very conscious of the benefits of diversity in your HR, at the executive and board level, because role models are also important. And we're seeing also changes in education, which contributes from early age, and encouragement and mentorship and a path, a career path, where you support colleagues to advance and to then also contribute to your productivity and your values as a firm or as an organization. And I was surprised to see that the diversity was not very high when I moved to Germany, especially in the energy industry and in the finance industry. And it is changing very slowly. It's not only the gender issue, but also the fact that you have a number of people who have never worked anywhere else. If you do not have diversity in terms of backgrounds in many different ways, you will not innovate or be as agile as you need to be. And the world is getting to be more competitive. The energy industry is getting to be more competitive, and it now needs to learn from others and move in that direction. So in that sense, startups can be an example to bigger companies, though not all are like that. And there are a number of startups in Berlin that have little diversity in terms of gender, especially. And it is this wrong premise that you're not able to recruit. And that attitude also needs to change. And but over time, I have seen company founders understand its value and pay more attention. So, you know, there is progress, but it is slow. And it is only recently that the benefits are as acknowledged. At the EIT, which is a European Union body that supports collaboration among researchers, businesses, startups in education in Europe by supporting programs, educational programs, startup acceleration, has taken this dimension very seriously. I'm also a member of the Digital Europe Leaders of the World Economic Forum, where we have also discussed this. Leading corporations are taking this to be no longer what was generally viewed a social issue, but an important economic benefit that should be taken in the management.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with moving tips in the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
Perfect. I totally agree. I mean, these days I have the feeling if you look through CVs and people have actually also stayed around at one company also for 20 or 30 years, it's more seen like a liability than an asset. So that mind, that sort of has also shifted in times and how we actually see these things develop. So Christian, do we have actually any questions from the audience?
Not yet. Maybe they're coming in. I would like to add something what you said. I mean, this was the typical career advice in the time when I was young. So in the 90s, basically HR consultants recommended to stay as long as possible in a company and in the same environment, because otherwise you could be seen as a failure and indecisive and not fitting in. And when I look now into today's startup culture, and especially what you hear from you, Anna, moving through the world, going to a different city, studying in a different city, talking with people from different cultures, is there, let's, I would say, are the ingredients that are needed in the startup culture to be innovative and to survive in the future. Did I get the summary right in my mind?
Yes. No, I definitely hear that. And staying open to learning. I have probably learned as much at meetups as by reading scientific articles and discussion papers for the last few years. Now with COVID, some of the discussion has moved to Twitter and Reddit, and then most recently Clubhouse. But I miss meetups and talking to real people, sometimes people that you would not normally meet with or not in such a relaxed setting. For example, I remember a meetup in Berlin where one of the rooms was focusing on governance. And I went in, and mind you, I have a policy background. And the discussion was all about how do you validate a transaction? And we got into a very interesting debate about governance and what it means, because it obviously meant very different things to programmers and non-programmers, and those two had to be bridged. And we have seen that integration over time, the multidisciplinary integration that happened with blockchain, where you need to, despite the wish of all of us to work outside the regular boundaries that are so conservative, the reality was that we had to translate our new concepts into what other people understood, and to explain how you can use the technology in different applications beyond financial applications. Energy Web Foundation has made its contribution in educating the energy industry. And luckily now there are a number of consultants in this sphere, and we can just focus on development. But when you are in a new field, you have to contribute to that general awareness as well. I know that Paul was one of your previous guests who talked about how you can use this technology to develop new medicine, where you have to translate the functionality now to medical researchers, labs, so that it can be implemented efficiently. So that bridging between the programming world and the industry applications is still in transition, and this is where your podcast also can bring benefit, so that people see it as much more than what they maybe hear at first, how really potent it can be in a number of other sectors. In Sweden, for example, it is used to have transparent real estate management and ensure that no one can manipulate your real estate, your property data, which is an important civic benefit as well. But I see we have some questions.
Yes, important things that you mentioned. I mean, I also miss the real life conversations, the creative conversations. But there are also some good things. Reddit, for example, I get the best investment advices, the most funniest advices at Reddit. And my solution, as you said, I mean, putting out in the world to keep people connected is the podcast, and also here to give the opportunity to talk to real life experts and at least connect them virtually. And we have one question coming in from Karim. Karim, I hand you the mic. Are you ready to talk?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Good to hear you.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Thanks for the event. Very interesting. So actually, you mentioned it some project related to electric vehicle exchanging energy. It would be great to have actually more information, like what you have achieved, what was the settings, what you have done with how was your role in enabling such actually project. We'd be interested to know more about this, actually. Thank you.
Sure. So it is not just us, an acknowledgement where you're working in a new field, that is also the value of open source development, in that you collaborate with a number of different endeavors to put all the building blocks in place. So, for example, for electric vehicles. They need to be able to trade, which is why I gave the example of this Autobidder software or other software that is being developed to enable your electric vehicle to connect and to trade based on a certain preference that you as an end user may have. It could be the timing. You know, I'm willing to trade the next week because I will be away, or it may be the price or a set of preferences, and that will really be on that panel that comes with that car, which is the interface where you put in your preferences as a user. And the general understanding is that most users do not want to be too involved, right? And some will just press the button, you know, put in the template and I don't want to worry about it. I just want the benefits. Others may be more involved. And so that is one part of the story. The other is the entire infrastructure for trading, where you need an exchange. That's what we are developing as a company. That exchange allows the market to function, and it allows for your car to have the same benefits as a, you know, a utility supplying electricity to your charging station, or a solar panel of a neighbor that is also participating in this local market. And that solar panel will also have its own trading strategy. That for solar panel to participate, there needs to be a company providing a similar interface as you will have in your car, right? So it is a company that you can call an aggregator or an energy management service provider that does this. And there are already smart communities in Europe that have this type of an application. There are also some vendor solutions such as the Zonen battery, for example, right? But with the Zonen battery, mm-hmm. at the moment, it's a closed vendor lock-in system. The idea in the future is that it will be open and connected to other products and other players, including your car. And our exchange has two main APIs, right? One connecting to companies that manage the assets, such as your car, or these aggregators, as I call them, and the other connecting to grid operators, because you need to ensure that this local market is connected to other markets, right? That, you know, you go from this household level to the street, to the community that is a bit wider, and then up from there. And we are now at the stage where we are reconfiguring market roles, and where we need to specify who will take on different roles that are important for the market to function. namely balancing beyond that local market. And, you know, you would think that grid operators would find this to be threatening, but no, this is where the market is going. And this is the direction that has been signaled very strongly by the regulators. It is also providing access to grid operators to what they call flexibility. And what essentially means when the grid is very congested, that they can influence a local market and offer a better price to buy electricity from that local market and those distributed assets, rather than go a more expensive route to add flexibility to the grid so that we do not have a blackout, right? So grid operators are also seeing the benefits of such a connected market. I also mentioned the distributed decentralized energy asset registry, which would enable an interoperability at the level where you do not depend, you do not need to depend on the service provider that you have for your house, for your assets, for, you know, for your car, but they can all work together. So that is, those are all pieces of the puzzle. And at the moment, what we have is there is a tool to build such a decentralized energy asset registry, but not every market has one. So that is, that can be done, but is not yet done everywhere. We're at the beginning of its implementation, but the technology is there and the interest is there from the regulatory side. Our exchange has demonstrated in simulation scenarios that it is fully functional. We are now reaching a stage where we will do physical POCs, and many renewable assets are looking ahead and are now coming with these trading strategies integrated or are looking for partners that can build such strategies for their assets. And it is the next step will be the house appliances coming with their own trading strategies, and you can get more and more granular, because the more granular you get, the more optimal it will get. And some people believe that this is too complicated, but in fact, all the users will care about is the service. And there, it is not just about the cost. This type of connectivity enables users to also choose the source of energy. Do I want only renewable? Or, you know, what could be even more interesting for some is to say, I will first buy from the generator of the local hospital. So they will make money and they will sell the extra energy that they have, and I will support that hospital. And then I will buy from someone else, but that is my preference. These are all very real possibilities. It is up to this aggregator, you know, home energy management service provider, to offer it through an app. But our exchange has the functionality to make this happen. So what we will see over time is that these building blocks will offer more and more possibilities, and you will have a system that is increasingly optimal.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I hope I answered your question, Karim.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much.
I'm always smiling when you say grid, because it reminds me of a movie from the 80s, Tron. There was this grid where the programs were going to fight. And it was one of my favorite movies. Thanks for the reminder. We have a next question coming in from Jared. Then let's do it this way. Thanks for the discussion, Anna. Which markets do you believe are closest to being ready for P2P electricity trading, and why?
If you had asked me that question 3 years ago, I would probably say Europe would be last. But now with the new Clean Energy Act, it has the opportunity to be one of the first. So we will likely start first with some research projects, some regulatory test beds to demonstrate the functionality, and then move forward. We have published an article last year about how this legislation is seen by different EU member states. And one of the countries that was most advanced at that time, for example, was Greece. And it is very likely that this is because of the grid challenge that the islands have in Greece, for example, and the possibilities of solar in that part of Europe. Scandinavian countries are also very advanced, and the UK as well. They all have the deadline of this year to implement nationally what is an EU directive, which is the guideline. And we will know more in a few months. Outside Europe, we have seen a very positive signal from FERC in the US just a few months ago. And if you go beyond some of the regions, such as Asia, for example, Southeast Asia, are not as highly regulated in some areas, which would also allow for faster implementation. And generally, if you look at the energy access field, where you're offering an islanded solution in that sense, so a closed solution that is not connected to the grid, but that allows that community to not only benefit from distributed assets, but also share them. And what we have currently in place are some centralized solutions that essentially rely on what is called an energy home system, where usually you have a panels and a battery, but without connecting such systems in a village, for example, which would be the next step. So those are all options. And the path that we will be taking is to start with research test beds to convince regulators to move forward. There have been other pilots in this area, but they did not have the same approach. Namely, they relied on preset pricing and pre-matched trading partners, which limits scale. So this would be a first trial of an approach that relies fully on the market to set pricing, and that is also fully open source and fully transparent with the added blockchain integration that is next in our pipeline. So in that sense, we're hoping that such demonstrations will convince the regulators to move faster. Otherwise, you can also reinterpret regulation differently and work with different asset managers who own a number of assets and who will implement it behind the meter and achieve optimization for their assets, but not moving beyond that. Our goal is to move beyond and to really connect up the market so that it is not just a small energy community that is isolated, but that it is at the end the entire town and the entire region that changes the way it operates. In one of the simulations that we have done, we have shown that if you have a smart energy community, and if you have a community next door that is not as wealthy, which, for example, is the case in many urban environments, if you have local trading, both the community that is rich in renewable assets and one that does not have such assets would benefit, which it's an important social objective in addition to an economic one.
We have another question coming in from Matthias. Matthias, here is the mic.
Hello.
Hello, good to hear you.
Yes. Thank you for this opportunity and appreciate the excellent exposition. The presentation. Well, so my question is: I'm from Brazil, and I have been researching the distributed generation of electricity for a while. And I come from law, and I worked about the protection of the legal protection of the prosumer, which means is the agglutination of the words producer and the consumer, and it's very popular in this field. So basically, my question is: we have a lot of challenges in the developing countries. So, and the problem is our Congress and many legislators, they don't feel like we can say comfortable to establish a certain regulation to provide the great institutions and infrastructure for peer-to-peer energy trading. So my question is, would it be feasible to provide peer-to-peer trading without legislation? Of course, we can talk about off-grid and local and local communities generation, but how would be feasible with blockchain like EnergyWeb companies does, for example? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Matheus. I'm happy to say that, and you may not be aware, but your largest energy company, Eletrobras, has joined the EnergyWeb Foundation and started collaborating a few months ago, which is important both because geographic diversity matters, and that all the regions participate in the benefits of a new innovation, and also because my understanding is that also that they're one of the leading companies in the entire continent, and would be a model for others in that sense to venture into this innovation. And my understanding is also is that they're generally viewed as a more conservative company, which is why this is additionally important. And the interest that they have is to improve grid management, to reduce congestion, to benefit from flexibility, and to coordinate these different renewable assets. Because for most people, when you say renewable assets, you think positively. You think that they contribute to a renewable source of energy that is improving sustainability and contributing to environmental protection, in addition to increasingly bringing very clear economic benefits with the lowered cost of production and generally an increased output and therefore generally increasingly better return on investment, not just for environmental but also cost reasons. However, if you're a grid operator, you will not say so much publicly, but you consider them to be a problem or at least a challenge, because you have all of these small distributed assets around that want to connect to the network, and you need to manage now all of these connections instead of just a few that you previously had. If you talk to a regulator, they say, Well, when you have a solar panel and you connect to the grid and you get a special tariff to sell, you know, what you do not use to the grid, then you do not participate in the costs, then the others have to pay for you to connect to the grid, right? So this view is based on the fact that the world has changed, the market design has not. And what we are saying is, look at them not as a problem, but as a solution, because those assets, when digitized, are represented by an agent that trades on their behalf. And if you're a grid operator, you can have flexible grid fees instead of constant, unchanging fees. And you can influence the market when you need that and actually use them as a tool. And this is for those grid operators that learn about the possibilities, then they become some of the strongest supporters of peer-to-peer trading. What remains a question where you need to convince the regulators is, will all the balancing be done in a way that secures supply? Because that is one of the main roles that you have to fulfill. And, is it sufficiently safe from the data protection point of view? All these different issues that you have when you digitize. And who will ensure that there's full compliance with all the reporting that is part of that compliance? And this is the same in Brazil and in Germany and in Austria and Australia. And this is why it is important to reconfigure the roles in this new system and to agree how you will continue to balance and report and comply and integrate your local market into higher markets while providing this additional benefit. Is it possible? Absolutely. It is just a matter of interpreting, for the most part, the current legislation. Will we come to an understanding that perhaps some regulation needs to change? It is also possible. But even for reinterpretation, it needs to become acceptable. And this is why we plan to do more studies and collaborate with leading energy researchers, energy policy research think tanks to increase the understanding in this area of how the roles can be reconfigured to satisfy the compliance criteria, which are important. So again, it is about bridging what the new technology can do and how to reinterpret this with the system that we have, and also push for changes where we demonstrate that they are required and that the main roles, the main objectives are still going to be fulfilled. So I see your comment about moving energy from public to private law. Energy is regulated globally. Most countries have independent energy agencies as well. Very few are still coupled, though some still are. And I see them going and treating this issue in a similar way. There will certainly be a pioneer that will be ahead. It is not impossible that this is going to be Scandinavia, and others are likely to follow.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your insights, Anna. I think with that question, we've reached the end of the podcast. So that was really great to hear your insights on how blockchain technology can and is being applied to the energy sector, and also a few thoughts that you shared around being a startup in Berlin or a more like a more established scale-up maybe. So really great pleasure to have you had here on the show, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Astrid and Christian.
Thank you very much for your time and have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Guten Abend.
Guten Abend.
Thanks for listening. Please, please share the podcast and make sure you've subscribed. Have a great day.